Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Happy Friday to everyone. There was a lot going on. We had tons of chatter, tons of breaking news. In hour number one, there will be no vote as of now with the 32 players who represent their teams on the CBA.
There was so much chatter that a game that Chris Black, who's in for Jeff Meller, had designed for us to play got pushed aside because of all the chatter. Well, we had chatter. We had to address the chatter.
We're doing it at 4:30. Yeah. Well, you were meeting with Tony.
We were doing it at 3:45.
You were too busy being worried about Chris hitting you in the face with a hockey ball.
Let me tell you something. Chris Black has got quite a slap shot. I didn't realize you were a hockey guy.
Well, it's a good wrist.
It is.
Give me a good wrister, though.
You strong.
Yeah, you were fantastic. Fantastic. So the game will go on.
Yes, okay. Right. It's like a game segment is the way he described it. So it's a surprise, and I like a surprise. Yeah. So we won't have a vote as of yet, but make no mistake, like we've said, 17 games will be coming. Yes. So will this extra playoff game.
Well, this extra playoff game is going to be this year, probably.
This year,
yeah.
Right.
The 17 games.
No, that's what I'm saying, that no matter what they end up negotiating into it, if the owners do give a little bit more, they're not giving up 17 games schedule between 2021 and 2023 and the immediacy of implementing an extra playoff team per conference. So that way you have six wild card playoff games that first weekend, which could be the best news the Bears get all offseason. Think about that. With very little cap room, Waddle, the best thing to happen to the Bears all offseason may be that there's an extra playoff team in the NFC this year.
Is it really? Is it really? Because let me paint you a picture, as Black was talking about the other day. What if the Bears get in at 7-9 or 8-8, and you still want change? But up at Hallis Hall, they're like, what do you mean, Sylvie? Why are you barking at Ryan Pace? We went to the postseason last year. Oh, I know we got waxed 35-10 in that extra wild card game, but we made it to the postseason.
Right.
Is that going to be an excuse?
Hang
not
that participation
to make
banner up. Look, hang it up.
When you fire Joel Quenneville and you fire Joe Maddon after their runs, you can fire anybody, no matter if you make the playoffs or not.
All right. Okay, you say that, which is true, but you also know in professional sports, several teams cling to the old we made it to the postseason arguments. So I'm just saying.
So I think that's going to be a good thing, though. It will be a good thing for a team like ours who, you know, may not be the best team in the conference or the division.
Just want to sneak in? Is that what you want to do?
I'm not saying just sneak in, but we could see more graphics with us being in the hunt longer.
Oh, that was thrilling to know. Hey, look, we're 5-10 with one game left. We're still in it.
It just lowers the bar, right?
The
playoffs have been lowered.
See, but you guys still forget about the 10-6 years. I'm not saying that every year there's going to be a 10-6 team that doesn't make the playoffs, but this is a safety net for those teams who are 10-6 and normally would not make the playoffs.
But those teams had an opportunity to make the playoffs, right? The
Why
Rams
are we giving
last
them a
year,
safety net. They're professionals.
The Rams finished 9-7 last year. Under this new rule, they would get into the playoffs. They had an opportunity to beat out both the Seahawks and the 49ers, and they didn't. Why would we need to give them a safety
net? Here's the deal, Chris. You know what happened? You're sitting at the bar. It was a great night. Everything was going well. You watched the Hawks win. You know, you got good conversation with your buddies. You see a nice-looking girl. You guys have a really good conversation, okay?
He's married.
I'm just saying in general.
Can't talk?
In general, you're having drinks. Just in person. Just anybody. Chris, somebody. Yeah, you can talk to somebody. But, you know, the night starts to go a little sideways, and you're drinking Jägermeister at 2 o'clock, lowering your standards. Then ultimately, you find company, you wake up the next morning.
Bad decision.
You went to the postseason, but really? Really?
You're
burping up Jägermeister, and you don't know what
to... To play the devil's advocate, and what we talked to Big Cat yesterday about is, yes, you would get one more playoff team, and it might be a mediocre team, but that wild card weekend... You'd have three games a day. That's so cool.
I'm the number two seed playing, Waddle.
Three games a day.
You get to see Patrick Mahomes play
like
an extra game in the postseason.
The Packers
would have had to earn their way to the next weekend because they would have had to play.
I can promise you that I'm not going to watch the Discovery Channel instead of. that third playoff game. But I'm not clamoring for it. I don't need it.
I don't even think you need to use your analogy about getting, quote, lucky and then rolling over the next morning. And now, I think this is when you've got yourself a good buzz at the bar. And because you have such a good buzz, you think another drink will make your buzz even better. But we know when you wake up the next morning or perhaps what happens later that night, that there's a level, there's a line where the buzz cannot get better.
Either way.
Where it's just perfect as is. And if you do anything more, it actually makes the night worse.
That's fine. I'm talking about, my analogy is about opening the door to mediocrity. And you know what? I don't know that you need to do that. Set your standards at an appropriate level and keep them there.
I want to play David Ross. David Ross today. Is this the first one, Black? Is that the David Ross that I'm pulling out here? Not to make it sound creepy.
Is that what you call it?
Pulling out my David Ross.
Listen, I know you're a Cub fan, but you need to talk to somebody if that's what your name and body parts
are. No. That's an attitude, I think.
Grandpa?
That's an attitude.
It is getting gray.
I think that's like when my kids aren't acting well and they need you got to talk to them a little bit stricter. You pull out your David Ross because Joe let them run rampant.
I'm shaving my Almora later in the evening.
Yeah.
That would be a good thing. There's not much Almora to shave. He's at like, what, 220?
Manscaped.
All right. So David Ross talked about on Golic and Wingo today. What should happen here with the Houston Astros and what he should have done?
Yeah, I mean, for me, Yu Darvish made a great point here, and I go back to, if we're in the integrity of the trophy and how much that means, it's like an Olympic medal. If you're caught cheating, your medal is stripped. So I think that would have sent a loud message. I don't know that you could give it to another person, but taking it away may have been the power move that may have made everybody feel a lot better. That's difficult. I understand. Rob's got a decision to make and trying to navigate through all those things. But in my mind, when I look at it like that, that's what we're all fighting for. That's why we're working here in spring training. That's why we're doing our work, putting in that extra time, those extra drills, all so we can be the group that holds that trophy at the end of the year. And the fact they didn't do it legitimately in the right way, they don't deserve that, in my opinion.
Great interview. You could catch the podcast at ESPN Chicago on the brand new ESPN Chicago app you must download.
I think the vacating of the title has gained steam. I think there was a large group of people that wanted to see that from the very beginning, and now as the story continues to progress, like I agree exactly with what Passan has said. I still right now, if you made me vote, I would not suggest it was necessary, but I'm always willing to change my mind on this.
Did you see what Buster said? Buster said there's a way you could censure them,
yeah.
So what that would mean is you would get the owners to vote whether or not, like, you put that asterisk where they in the book, in the record books, they actually acknowledge that that wasn't something that, quote, holds up to standards. You know, it's still there.
That's a really soft penalty, in my opinion.
As he called it, the scarlet letter.
Yeah, but I think they already have the scarlet letter. I mean, you can't tell me that group's legacy hasn't been tarnished.
Here's David Ross talking about Big Poppy, and this was also the topic: is Mike Fiers a snitch? Something we'll ask Jason Benetti about. Without Mike Fiers, whatever his motivation was, this story doesn't come to light. Whether or not he said it a year after or 2 years after, and he was on another team, and he still benefited by winning a World Series, still, whatever the motivation is. Is it still a good thing that he came out when he came out? Because if he doesn't, does this have any legs? Do we have all these different sanctions and people getting fired and people being exposed? David Ross talking about what Big Poppy said, that he doesn't like what Mike Fiers did.
Yeah, I think that's hard to point out the quote-unquote whistleblower. I think, at some point in today's game, if you're not doing things the right way and ethically, as many players that change teams and move on throughout the game, it's hard to keep something like that a secret. And especially when you go to another team and you go in there and you give up a 10 spot or from a pitching standpoint, it was going to come out at some point. I mean, there were already rumors flying around. And so, David's got his opinion, but the fact is, you know, the Houston Astros weren't doing what's right. And that's the bottom line. I don't think Mike Fiers is to blame.
I'm not blaming Mike Fiers. And I think the truth needed to come out. I think it's a good thing the truth came out. But I'm not dismissing Poppy's comments at all, because I think they are. They are credible.
Some people think about
it. Yeah, think about it. I mean, listen, a true whistleblower doesn't benefit. You're basically in an environment where, I mean, you're whistleblowing on something that is going wrong. Well, I mean, he has a dog in the race here, or a dog in the hunt, a horse in the race here, because he's a member of the Astros.
Not anymore, though.
Well, I understand, but when all of this was going on, he was cashing playoff checks and got a ring. So he was benefiting from the nonsense that was going on.
This is exactly what baseball has done. Baseball set this precedent where to benefit from people cheating. But baseball did this in the 90s. Baseball, like, for anyone who wants to rip Mike Fiers, I would say everybody in baseball in the 90s, they were complicit with what was going on with McGuire and Sosa, from the commissioner to the managers. Everyone knew. So, and why didn't they blow the whistle then?
They're just as guilty. I mean,
and now they want to punish.
Two wrongs don't make a right.
I'm not saying that it's... I don't think what Mike Fiers did was wrong. I don't know what the... I don't know if the motivation is necessarily right.
I don't think what he did was wrong either. Ultimately, what he did needed to be done. I'm telling you, I can understand why teammates, players in a locker room would ask the question, hey, Mike, if you felt that strongly about it, why didn't you mention it prior to you receiving the World Series ring and the playoff money?
Why didn't A.J. Hinch, who was against it, say anything?
No, I mean, all of them.
But my point is when you have a group of 25 guys, or 24 in this case, and they're all pulling on the same end of the rope, and you want to now, in the middle of a season, start, you know, getting on the soapbox and saying what's right and what's wrong, I think that's a dangerous situation for a player's career, isn't it?
Well, I just, what's the answer to the question? It's Mike Fiers, as he's asked, why didn't you...
I don't think that Mike Fiers alerted baseball to this, because they did send that memo to the Astros general manager, the Astros manager. You know what I'm saying? They sent the memo. They knew that there was cheating going on. All Mike Fiers did was bring it to the public light. Mike Fiers didn't do anything with Major League Baseball, did he?
I don't believe so.
Because they knew it. So all Mike Fiers did was put the public pressure on the Astros to be punished.
As I said, I got no problem with Mike Fiers ultimately telling the story. I do also. I mean, I think these are two legitimate conversations. I don't think it's black and white to me. I don't think one begets the other. I think it's a legitimate question, and maybe Mike Fiers answers, look, I was part of a team, and I, at that point, I was caught up in it.
These are my friends.
I don't know
maybe
what the answer is.
Maybe he got to the A's, and he was like, y'all don't have this technology? Well, man, we had that forever. I mean, we weren't doing anything weird.
So 312-332-3776. Like, would you be mad at Mike Fiers? Do you, like, I don't put him on a pedestal either.
I don't
either.
Call him a snitch. I mean, I don't care about that word.
And I don't call him a hero either. I mean, he couldn't live with the secret anymore, and he exposed it.
Right.
332-3776. Jason Benetti will talk about this and those White Sox. How good can they be this year? Benetti, next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, a lot of baseball to talk about. We were just talking about the Astros situation. Jason Benetti is going to hop on here with us in a minute. Ricky Renteria is trying to decide, Waddle, whether or not Moncada or Tim Anderson leads off.
Well, I know that Moncada will take a walk every now and again.
Yes, yeah. I think that's probably the best way to go, too. I would go with Moncada.
That's why I like Bryant as your leadoff hitter and on the north side. I want a guy to get on base. I want a threat to get on base and put some pressure on a pitcher early.
Yeah,
that's what I want.
They've got a really good lineup.
Yeah.
We'll see if they get the pitching. We'll see what Kopech's going to be this year. And Jason Benetti does great work covering the White Sox. Also, doing college basketball. He does college football. He seems to be everywhere. Every time I turn on my TV, Jason Benetti is doing a game, and he joins us right now on the Corona Hotline. Jason, how's your early spring going here?
It's going to be even more exciting tomorrow when I get to Arizona. I'm in lovely West Lafayette right now for Robbie Hummel Hall of Fame Induction Day tomorrow.
Tell Robbie we say hello. Yeah. He's a friend of the program.
I will. He's one of my favorite people to work with. He's a great dude. And by the way, he's got some awesome, like, underbelly of the NBA stories.
Yeah, he's told us some. Yeah. I mean, we like Robbie Hummel. And I don't know if you know this, Jason. He grew up with a Tom Waddle poster in his basement.
No way. Really?
Yep.
Well, how can you guys, either one of you, be surprised? I thought that was standard.
No. Oh, yeah. Very funny.
Yeah.
I mean, I had five in my house.
Thank you, Jason.
Not to brag.
Thank you.
Jason Benetti, world's biggest Tom Waddle fan. I like it. let's get to the Sox here. Then we'll talk about the cheating situation. You know me. I'm a Cubs fan. But I am really excited to watch this team gel. And I think they're going to gel faster than most. How about you?
I have two reasons to believe that. Number one, it already was a good clubhouse last year. Like a cohesive, good, solid clubhouse, even in a losing season. So it seems to me when you add the pieces, who all seem to be very reputable team guys, you're going to have a really nice try to avoid losing streaks, don't get too high and too low sort of team. And then the division's just not going to be nearly as good as some other divisions in baseball. So I would hope for a hot start from the Sox. I do think the lineup is really deep. I mean, you compare it to other AL lineups, and I have to imagine it's going to end up being a top four, top five offense in the American League. And I'd stretch to even make four better than the Sox in terms of depth of lineup if the young guys do what we expect them to do. So I'm pumped. I really am, and I'm trying to convince myself to not be as excited as I am because I don't want even like a minor letdown. But this is, I mean, for me, having been here now my fifth season, it's the best team by far the Sox have put together, you feel like, in terms of a young core, and let's go. Like, let's go play.
Jason, how beneficial will it be to have not just these guys as veterans, whether it's Grandal or it's Encarnacion or Keiko, but guys who are veterans who have been to the postseason a number of times recently that can bring not just quality play, but that experience to this young core?
Tom, you know, and both of you guys know, like, the worst thing you can do in any passion field, in any job, is aim at the wrong target and go and do your stuff every day and finish the season and feel like you had a great year. And then you go look at what other teams are doing and you say, we're not even close and we did our best. And so what I think the Sox get out of those veteran guys is the help to aim at an even higher target. Like, hey, you guys are doing really good stuff. You're developing yourselves young talent-wise. Coaches are helping. Now, hey, let's do this to make sure that we're a playoff team. Let's do this to make sure that in September we're playing winning baseball. Let's do this to handle a Gerrit Cole on a day when he looks like he's got great stuff. Like, that's what I'm excited about with those older guys, is that the Sox are going to be aiming at a loftier target this year at just how to handle themselves day to day.
I want to ask you about pitching, and would you agree with me that Kopech could be the key between being a good team and a great team?
I think it's either Kopech or Reynaldo Lopez. Because if Reynaldo Lopez pitches like he did in terms of climbing the hill 2 years ago, like, people forget before last year, if you said, who do you want, Reynaldo Lopez or Lucas Giolito, I think most Sox fans would have said Lopez, based on the 2018 season. So Kopech, absolutely. And he's told us and a number of other people, he's going to come back a little bit different of a pitcher, learning more finesse, et cetera. So, yeah, absolutely Kopech. Let's see what he becomes. But I think Reynaldo Lopez is up there on that list, too, because if he can be the semblance of even like 60% of the transformation we saw from Lucas last year, the Sox rotation looks magnificently different.
Jason, what are reasonable expectations for Eloy this year? Obviously got off to a slower start and then finished exceptionally strong. And how beneficial can his experience from last year be for Robert next to him?
Yeah, I think they're going to help each other is the cool thing, because Eloy is going to help him with how to deal with pitchers attacking you repetitively. I mean, the first month of the year, he saw more sliders than anybody in Major League Baseball. So I think Luis Robert's going to have somebody who can help him command that sort of situation and navigate that. But two, Luis Robert's going to cover so much ground in center field, you'd imagine, considering the tape we've seen on him, that he's going to make things better for Eloy Jimenez. And really, at the top of my list of what I'm interested in most in the spring training games we televise and just watching is how the offseason has treated Eloy Jimenez's defense, because there was a factor of indecision we saw early in the year and middle of the year, even toward the end of the year last year, in Eloy Jimenez's defense. And if he, in the offseason, has just gained more confidence in his steps, gained more confidence in what he can do in the outfield, he's a pretty good base runner in the first place. Like, he has some speed in there. We just never saw it in the outfield because he wasn't confident. So I'm excited to see and anxious to see what his first step looks like in left field with a season and an off season under his belt.
Going to be very interesting. Jason Benetti joining us on the Corona Hotline as he's the voice of the White Sox. I want to ask you about Tim Anderson. What a year last year. Is there any concern that's a career year? Or do you believe that this is a guy who can compete for batting titles for years to come?
Yeah, I don't know that he's going to compete for more batting titles, but I do think he's going to evolve. I mean, for a guy who cares so much about what he is to the world and what he can do for the world and how headstrong he is, I just couldn't see him backsliding substantially. It doesn't seem like it's in his makeup. It seems like he's going to grow with baseball more than baseball is going to erode him. So I don't really see that in the cards, but it's happened to stronger people than Tim too. So I would never ever say it's never going to happen, but my feeling is his trajectory is upward just based on knowing the guy and knowing how driven he is. And some of the things he said last year about just understanding the game of baseball and really becoming more knowledgeable about that and learning how to watch tape. And I think Frank Menachino, in terms of a hitting coach, is a guy who's a bona fide major league hitting coach who's worked with guys like Giancarlo Stanton that can help Tim even further in how to dissect pitching and his own swing. So I tend to think Tim unlocked something last year rather than did anything flukish.
Jason, there's a really polarizing player still unsigned, and some people have connected him to the White Sox, and Yasiel Puig. People really really like him, or they think he could really make things bad with what you were talking about with that locker room and the clubhouse. Do you think that if the Sox choose, Yasiel Puig can fit into this team?
I do. I mean, I think something as simplistic as he's got a couple of countrymen in the clubhouse as well who've known him, but something also as a little bit more nuanced as he'd get some playing time and he'd get to play against pitchers that he could handle. I mean, if it's him and Nomar Mazara in right field, and I have no intel that the Sox are actually doing that. I saw the Roto World tweet a couple of hours ago that there are a couple teams in and the Sox are in. I have no idea if that's true. But what a platoon system does for Puig if he ends up in that spot with the Sox or somewhere else is it allows him to unload his potential in the best possible scenarios in terms of opponents. So if he's okay with that, wherever that ends up happening, I think he gets benefit out of it.
Jason, as you head to spring training, just basic question, what are your thoughts on this Astros cheating scandal?
This is where Twitter sucks because it's just so nuanced, right? Like the players that aren't on the Astros hate the Astros for it, and rightfully so. The Astros got punished, and you can question the level of the punishment, rightfully so. Also, the union wanted immunity for players. And so then players criticizing other players when they're both part of the same union, both groups are part of the same union, you can criticize that as well. And then you compare it to MLB's steroid issue in years past, in the 90s, and it looks like you're treating it in a way where you're just like scarlet lettering certain people and then saying, okay, it's over and done with. That's critical. That's worthy of criticism as well. So my concern is that this just gets so oversimplified. There are so many layers to this, and I have to believe Rob Manfred had other options on his menu in terms of punishment, but they weren't as palatable because of legal concerns. And I know fans don't want to hear that. I know, I get that. But this is one of those situations that isn't, to me, it's never exactly one line. There's so many different layers to this thing that to say, well, they should have done this just because, is so oversimplified that it just couldn't have been a solution. So I'm very sympathetic to the people who say, you know, like, screw the Astros, they can't be doing that, and they shouldn't have the World Series trophy. But I understand, too, hey, you know, if other teams were doing it, like we have some evidence of the Red Sox or whatever, or if there was some pressure applied to the younger players, it's just such a layered situation. The one thing that I will say unequivocally, anybody who says, if I know what pitch is coming, it doesn't help me, is absolutely lying to you.
Right.
Absolutely, truly, 100%. Like, that is the most disingenuous thing you could possibly imagine to say. Because if you watch batting practice, when people know what's coming, we all know what happens. Like, the slugging percentage numbers on pitches that people know are coming are going to rise. You're trying to tell us that we don't understand what baseball is and what it is to have a good eye. Like, pitching sequences would never matter if that wasn't true. So that is... that's the one thing I get fired up about. When players say, oh, it didn't help us that much, or when a team says it didn't help us that much, that's an absolute out-and-out lie.
Yeah, totally. Do you believe there will be massive retaliation, or is this more bark than bite?
Oh, I've never seen players getting after each other in the media like this. I have to imagine the Astros might set an MLB record for hit by pitches this year. And I've been very vocal about how much I don't condone that. But I also understand when players say, hey, the league hasn't done nearly enough here. We were going to leave it to the legal proceedings, but now what do we do? Like, I can understand that they would feel like they have no other option either. I don't like that because somebody could end up dying in that situation. And that's awful. And like, way beyond Hammurabi's eye for an eye situation. Like, we're not, that's not what we're doing here. But I get it too, that people are frustrated and like way beyond frustrated, mad, like mad as hell. So I think there's a lot that's going to happen, but when the Astros are in town, whoever they're playing, I bet it's a huge draw, and I bet it's like a wrestling atmosphere in the audience.
That would be fun. Jason, thanks for everything. Keep up the great work, okay?
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you, guys.
There you go. Jason Benetti is doing a college basketball game tonight and talking White Sox. We've got Waddle's World coming up next.
It's that time again when we venture deep into the great unknown.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
A trip inside the mind of a multi-concussed former Bears wide receiver.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him, and he had an all-time day in the use of smelling salts.
Buckle up, boys and girls.
Tom Waddle, every team wants to have a Tom Waddle. If I had a football team, I'd like to have a Tom Waddle on my team because you draw from that.
It's time to go inside Waddle's World.
Tom Waddle did have to use a lot of smelling salts.
Hot damn, you're right, John. Waddle's World brought to you by the great people at Wintrust Community Banks. They're Chicago's banks. To find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit wintrust.com/financemember FDIC. Before I get to really important stuff, I just saw this as I was scrolling through Twitter, and I thought this was really interesting. The St. Louis Battlehawks are drawing bigger local TV ratings than the St. Louis Blues, and they're expecting 28,000 for their Sunday home opener.
That's, and the Blues are the Stanley Cup champions.
Yes. that unbelievable?
That is unbelievable.
I'm telling you, the XFL's got legs. I'm not telling you they're going to supplant the NFL.
St. Louis has been stripped from a football team twice now. You know what I mean? With the Cardinals and the Rams. So they're football hungry, right? Is that the reason?
You know what? I'm thinking now. Can you stay... If you go to a Battle Hawks game, can you stay warm enough in the Canadian tuxedo watching the game? I mean, all denim, or do you have to have like a coat?
I have to ask Cap. He's been the proponent of the Canadian tux lately.
Well, guys,
we know in St. Louis, I mean, you're gonna go denim from head to toe, right?
Well, they stay warm because don't they use the toasted raviolis to sit on down there?
Right, that's their food of choice.
And they're toasted.
Where do they play? Did you say where they play? Because they don't play in the dome.
No,
do they?
I don't.
They do play outside?
I don't know. I was hoping they would. I don't think they should have the comfort of the inside. Maybe they do, though. You may be correct.
That's a big building, though. I mean...
According to the St. Louis
Center
Post-Dispatch, the NFL's Battle Hawks expect to have 28,000 for Sunday's home opener against the New York Guardians.
It's filling
the lower bowl at the dome at the
America
Center.
So it is their dome. Wow.
Okay, well, you can still wear the Canadian tuxedo. You just don't have to wear any overcoat. Yeah, so you will stay warm.
Yes, you will. That's the question.
Would you guys support an XFL team here?
No.
I will not.
Wow.
I didn't know that hot take was ready.
Sold for $0.
I'm used to producing caps, so I know that the hot takes are coming. But Sylvie, I didn't expect you to just automatically say no to that.
Well,
okay.
I'm not saying that we wouldn't talk about it. We would. I'm saying, are you saying in February that I'm going to go to a game? And the answer to that would be no.
What if they played inside? You found a way.
Listen, they play. No, you can't do that. Where are you going to play?
Oh, we'll find a spot.
Yeah, you can't. You're going to have to play outside. Listen, I'd be all for it. I'm not buying season tickets to it either. I'm with you. I watch it from my couch, but I would like, of course, I'd like to have an XFL team here in Chicago.
Okay.
The XFL Dickers. Chicago Dickers. The Dickers.
The Chicago Stashes.
Dickers.
There has to be some form of aggression to it, so it would be like the Battle Stashes
Stash.
It would just be
the Angry Stash.
It would be the Dickers.
The Angry Stash. I like that better.
Seriously, I mean, can you get something trending here? Like, if Chicago had an XFL franchise, what would the nickname of the team be? You say Battle Stashes?
I liked what that... I liked
Battle
both
Stashes.
Of it. They molded something good. Either Battle Stashes or Angry Stashes.
Can't combine it with the Rough Riders.
I like Battle Stashes. Battle Stashes better than the other. Okay, I also had a tweeter from... there is from Shefty. The NFLPA's official response.
You had a tweeter from Shefty?
I did. Today, the NFLPA Board of Player Representatives did not take a vote on the principal terms of a proposed new collective bargaining agreement. Our player leadership looks forward to meeting with NFL management again next week before the board takes a vote shortly after.
So they're saying they want to go back to
bargaining
the
table.
Negotiating table.
Yeah.
We'll see what the owners
want
to do.
Listen, I'm not surprised, even though this has been something that they've been negotiating now for 9 or 10 months. I'm not surprised.
Can you imagine what Jerry Jones would sound like at the negotiating table?
Yeah, I'm not here to jack around with you guys.
Someone's alerting
him
right
now. Sign this now.
Yeah,
sign this now.
That's what's happening.
Yeah.
You know that's what the negotiating...
I'm going to answer your questions.
I like your attitude.
Yeah.
Come in.
Whoa.
This is next week.
Yeah.
We have tapped the negotiating room, and this is Jerry Jones talking to the NFLPA.
I'm going to take your questions.
A lot to go over. Now go on with your questions.
I'll answer the ones I want to answer.
Well, Jerry, can we get some more money here? You know, you're not giving us
enough
money.
I'm not here to check with you today.
Get with it and let's ask some questions.
I just asked, can we get some more money, please?
I don't like your attitude.
I don't either.
Come in.
You get him, Jerry. Sylvie came here to jack with you today.
We're not playing very well.
Well, you guys are. You're making billions and billions of dollars.
Oh, I wouldn't go there. Don't go there.
But I'm going to give you the answers I want to give you this morning.
Yeah, that's the way Jerry plays.
That's how he negotiates.
So they're going to go back to the bargaining table.
What's up?
If you want to know what's going on, half of Jeff Mellor, audio man Jeff Mellor's job security is the way he has set up his pages.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt.
He can't. So you're going, hey, can we play some Jerry Jones now? Chris is like, well,
where's Jerry?
He's just hitting stuff blindly, hoping it's Jerry Jones.
Mellor is an evil scientist, isn't he?
That's why he's called audio man. Yeah. So.
Oh, audio man's got it all set up. And then Chris is like trying to dissect the press conference right now.
What is going on? Yeah. Where is everything?
Oh, boy. What else do I have for you? As reported earlier, the Bears have released wide receiver Taylor Gabriel and cornerback Prince Amukamara. These moves account for $13.5 million in cap space for the Bears.
So they have a lot to fill now. They need another corner. Maybe they fill that in-house. Who's their safety going to be? What are they going to do at inside linebacker?
Remember, they still have to, at the very least, they have to find a backup quarterback.
Well, I was going just defense now. Yeah. That was their calling card. They have holes to fill on defense in addition to all the stuff that we've talked about, the offensive line, the tight end, the quarterback, wide receiver.
Mike Fiers acknowledges that he has received death threats. That ain't cool. I believe there's a couple of the current Astros that have received death threats as well on social media. I mean, really? Who's sending death threats?
It's dumb.
I mean, if you're sending death threats on social media to baseball players, I get it. You're upset they cheated. I mean, do something more productive with your time. And that's an order. Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy has withdrawn his name from the Colorado head coaching search. He'll be an NFL head coach soon.
Probably next year, right?
Your guy Trey Young dropped a 50-burger on the Heat last night.
You see where he was shooting from?
I did not.
50.
Yeah, 129-124 they won that game against the Heat.
I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
Hey, let's start again. Jerry, look, the deal, some of our guys like it, but we need more. Can we get some more cash?
Whoa, I don't have patience to jack with you today. Don't like your attitude, dude. Come in. A lot to go over. Now go on with your question.
Mellor's driving to Madison right now, just giggling.
I
got him. After 39 points and a win over the Nets, the 76ers center Joel Embiid declares he's the best player in the world.
I saw that.
And a liar. What else? You know what? We got to take a break, right? Yeah. Oh, we're adding Al Michaels to the show at 4:30 today.
All right, so tomorrow is the anniversary. 40 freaking years since Miracle on Ice, one of the most important sporting events ever to take place in the United States, and a win for the United States, of course. Al Michaels is going to join us at 4:30 to talk about that. We have Kyle Hendricks coming up in the 5 o'clock hour
I've
as well.
I've got a guy trying to steal goats. I got a guy lighting a house on fire. Man with multiple DUIs and McDonald's scented candles plus Florida, Ohio, when we return.
It is
I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
Well, inside Waddle's World, you do. It's all next.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
A man who tried to steal goats from a farmer in Stafford County, Virginia, pretended to be intoxicated and gave deputies a false name, authorities say. Farmer told deputies his wife had gone out to check on their goats Friday night and saw that they were let out of their pen. According to the local sheriff's office, she suspected there was something hiding in the field. Her husband then found the suspect, 19-year-old Cole Schrock, and held him at gunpoint until deputies arrived. When deputies came to the farm, farmer told them he thought the suspect was intoxicated, trying to steal his goats. Deputies said Schrock was slurring his words and initially gave them a false name. I would, too, if my last name was Schrock.
It's a shame because in my country, goat is for everyone. Goat is free. We have goat for you, goat for me, goat for her, goat for him.
Wait a minute, but I can't take your goat,
No,
though.
You cannot have my goat. My goat is my goat. For me and my wife is the goat. We eat
How
goat.
How does Whitney feel about the goats in the house?
The goat is, I actually had a pet goat when I lived over in Saudi Arabia.
Did it have three legs, too?
It did not have three legs.
How did it end for that goat?
It did not end well for that goat.
What happened to the goat?
It did not end well for Patches the goat. Actually, his name was Billy.
What happened is we had a goat in our backyard, and we lived in a neighborhood, and the neighborhood had an association that would come around and spray the plants.
Oh, no.
And we told them, don't spray our backyard plants. Because our goat, we have a goat, and it will eat. It eats some of our plants. And they forgot 1 week.
Oh, no.
And Billy ate the pesticide.
Did you come home from school one day and see
woke up in the morning because he was out there at night. And he was out there at night.
A board,
and he was
laying down, feeding
the
air.
No, because it's like one of those things where like your pet has like a bad stomach and it's like in pain and you can tell. And then
do you have to put it down?
And my
What?
Yeah, across the throat.
I became a man that day, Tom Waddle.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't do that.
No.
Did somebody do that?
Yeah, someone did, yeah. I think my dad did, yeah.
Waddle, how about this animal story from last night? I don't know if you caught this or if you've ever seen this on the Edens. For the first time, this is the first time I've ever seen this. I've seen deer before off into the distance when I've been driving the Edens. Yesterday, on the shoulder of the road, on the Edens, okay? The shoulder of the Edens. It looked like something was running. And I'm like, is that a dog running on the Edens? Like, just not into the lanes, but like,
it was racing you
the same distance. It was a deer running as fast as it could next to all the cars. I don't know how it ended for the deer. I assume not well.
Odds
but
are not
I've never
well.
Seen a deer running alongside trying to keep up with the traffic. Have you ever seen that?
I have not seen that, but I've seen deer play, would I say, chicken on the highway with trucks.
Oh, really?
In middle America? Yeah. Well, no, not here. Like back at home and driving to Kentucky.
Right.
And
I've never seen that on the Edens before.
Interesting. Man sets house afire so he could take pictures of said fire. Woodland Summit County, a Syracuse man was allegedly told police he was setting fires inside a vacant house so he could take pictures, has been charged with arson.
Got to do it for the gram.
He was lighting houses on fire to take pictures of houses on fire.
So he's like, this is vacant, no one owns it anyway, so I'll just set it afire.
Florida man arrested for his fourth DUI tells the cops just how high he is. Yes, he was stopped
in North. Take the legwork out for you guys.
Reddington Beach and arrested after he did poorly on field sobriety tests and showed signs of impairment. He also admitted to being high. Yeah, I'm not drunk, I'm high. Let McDonald's set the mood with some burger-scented candles, huh? You in?
I never understood this again.
Really?
Like, if you want
the scent of
McDonald's, go get McDonald's.
Okay, but seriously, how delicious and fantastically smelling are those Chick-fil-A chicken nuggets? Like, you could get busy in the master bedrooms just smelling that, couldn't you?
I could lather myself up in it.
Yeah, I'm just telling you.
When they told me before Chick-fil-A got to Chicago, you got to try this Chick-fil-A, you got to try it. I'm like, okay, how good can chicken nuggets be? And I'm a big chicken nugget, chicken tender guy. Those things.
There's no way what they told you could have exceeded your actual experience.
And every time I have it, it gets better.
That's why I'm saying, would you like some Chick-fil-A chicken nugget candles burning in your house?
No, I want Chick-fil-A chicken nuggets.
But if you eat them,
I don't need it in candle form.
Why? Because you don't ingest the candle. You won't get fat from a candle scent.
Do you want a scotch candle or do you want scotch?
If I can't have a full bottle of scotch, so I'll have a scotch and then I'll light a scotch candle.
Yeah, I think it's silly.
Really?
Sometimes you just have to set the mood.
Right.
So go get like a quarter pounder with cheese and set the move that way.
What's a Kristen Cavallari store called? Uncommon James. They have the man cave scented candle.
See? I think it's a great idea.
Do they really have the man cave scented candle?
Mm-hmm. What's it smell like?
Man Sweat. Cave?
If it Sweat. Smells like man cave, I don't think that's a real good candle scent.
You said man cave, right?
That's why we get candles, to prevent the man cave
smells like
smell.
Stale beer and sweat.
I just think you can circumvent the extra 10 pounds.
Smells like cams at U of I.
Oh, God.
Where is that cam?
It smells gross.
Really?
It's like a freshman bar at Illinois. Yeah. I think they're remodeling it, or they have.
Because of the smell?
No, it was like it's like one of those bars. I'm sure you guys had one at Boston College, Waddle, where you Mary walk Ann's. In and you're I don't know if Mary Ann's was like this. Did your feet stick to the floor?
Of course.
Was it really hard to lift your feet up?
Yes.
Was there puke in at least one toilet
of
when
course.
You went to the bathroom?
Yes.
Yes. Smells like urinal cake.
It smells like urinal cake or pine, like an overbearing pine salt smell.
There was only one toilet. You open the door. There was no lock on it, and it was a sit down. There was no standing urinal.
Oh yeah, the mystery toilet.
Yeah, you either had to sit down.
Mystery toilet.
Or you could stand, but I mean, like, if you had to...
Why is it called the mystery toilet?
Well, because if you have to use it, it's a mystery. Who will pop in? Yeah.
That's true.
You can't sit at a bar.
But if you have to, sometimes you gotta go.
Just go.
You can't sit at a bar. You just go home.
Are you getting shot?
You can't sit in a bar.
You're 21 years old. You're hammered. You got a good night going. You're not getting in. You're not getting in a cab and going home to poop and then come back to the bar.
At a bar. I would rather go home.
I sat down in a toilet seat at a gas station in Houston last Saturday.
I've done it at a bar. Yeah. Yes, I have.
Last Saturday, and I crossed three lanes, almost got in an accident, pulled in.
But there's nothing wrong with my stomach.
Tommy over the middle.
Got the side eye from some guy who looked like he had just gotten out of jail as I went to the men's room and sat down for 10 minutes.
There are times where I don't want to sit here.
I don't know why you guys want to get Dr. Oz on. You guys paint me like I've got a bad stomach. I don't have a bad stomach.
Do you guys want to play a game?
Yes.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
Ba-da. Fort Ohio is brought to you by the Fields Auto Group. See Fields first for luxury cars, SUVs, and snacks at fieldsautogroup.com. I'm sure Sylvie has sat there before.
Yeah.
Why not?
There, yes.
Potato soup assault leads to felony, report says. A man became upset and dumped soup on his mother when she requested cheese.
Whoa. That's terrible.
A woman's request that her son put some cheese in her potato
soup. Put some cheese in my damn soup.
Ended badly with a bowl of soup in her lap and her son in jail, charged with a felony, according to police.
Dad, will you put some cheese in my soup?
Ryan Lemons was charged with aggravated battery on a person of 65 years or older.
The soup incident happened
at about 3:50 p.m. on a Thursday.
I was just going to say, I don't think my mom would actually call the cops and have me locked up.
But then I changed by the mother and the son.
There's no doubt my mom would.
The mother was resting in bed when she asked Lemons for something to eat, the affidavit said. Lemons prepared a bowl of potato soup, brought it into the bedroom.
Make it yourself, Mom!
His mother said, can I have some cheese in the soup? And he became upset, took the bowl of soup, and spilled it in her lap.
Put your own damn cheese in your
soup! His mother became so upset that she called the police.
Why the F are you putting cheese in soup?
I ask you.
Do they drink a lot of soup in Florida? It's always warm.
It's old people drink.
This is Cleveland.
Is this potato soup?
That's true.
What kind of soup was it?
I'm just saying, I think old people drink soup regardless. It's easy to eat. You don't have to chew it sometimes.
I'm still going to Ohio.
You could gum
Cleveland.
It.
I'm going Beaver Creek, Ohio.
I'll go Hamilton, Ohio.
A man spilled potato soup in his mother's lap after she asked for some cheese in the soup in Deltona, Florida.
Wow. Come on. Get your act together. That's not nearly strange enough for Florida.
Yeah, gotcha. Here's my thing I got.
We're going to tell you about two Bears who got cut. And we'll talk to Al Michaels in the 4 o'clock hour on the 40th anniversary of Miracle on Ice. It's all in 2 minutes.